All week long, we're looking at underemployment in the U.S. economy, and the unemployment figures will come out at the end of the week, and they will only tell part of the story of how people are dealing with this economic crisis. Tell us your economic part-timer story, and give us your slashes, if you could, at 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake at thetakeaway.org. You are radio host slash pet owner, right?
Slash pet owner.
Yes, which is not necessarily an employed gig. But
it depends on how you look at it and who you ask.
Yeah, well, we did talk yesterday with a dog walker, with someone who was doing pet care, who had a PhD in this environment. And here in the studio with us is Marcy Albaher, who's author of the book One Person, Multiple Careers, and is the writer until recently behind the blog HeyMarcy.com. Or is the writer behind the blog HeyMarcy.com, but until recently you were on the Multiple Career blog, One Person, Multiple Career, Shifting Career blog, at the New York Times. So anyway, welcome to the studio.
Thank you.
There's so much to talk to you about. People do describe themselves, first of all, and let's just get the smiley face part of the story first. People do describe themselves as having different skills, different occupations. It's no longer, I'm just a guy who works for IBM, right?
Right. Well, it's funny because I think my book came out in 2007, spring of 2007, and when I wrote that book, I was kind of, my whole position was, this is a fulfilling way to work. This is this idea of, we need balance in our lives. Some of us have left brain and right brain talents, or we're artists as well as business people.
Entrepreneurs.
Right? Exactly. Yeah. And we have many dimensions to
innovators,
our lives.
Innovators, yeah.
And the people that I profiled were people who were living like that, who were building slash careers to engage themselves more fully in the world, to not limit themselves in these singular ways of defining themselves.
It's suddenly gotten
and
real.
Suddenly it's become a slashing for security, slashing as a really practical way to live. And all these people who are already on the bandwagon of thinking it's a really good idea to have multiple streams of income, multiple ways to make a living, multiple talents that you know how to commercialize, all those people are feeling pretty more confident now, and my whole point was, this is not something you should, that, you know, being a Renaissance person is something you should flaunt, not hide, and many people agree with me, but there's still lots of people who aren't thinking this way, who are used to their one employer taking care of them forever.
And there are plenty of people who are going to be forced into this situation.
Exactly.
In the last month, 675,000 people were forced out of full-time employment into part-time employment.
Right.
It's estimated that if you add the part-timers, people who for economic reasons are working part-time, into the overall unemployment figures, you get a figure of 12.3 million, something like 12% at least, 12% of the workforce is underemployed.
Right.
So how do you turn that kind of sad story where you're compelled to move into a situation where you often don't have benefits into something good?
Right. So, you know, I was talking about slashing by choice, and this is now slashing by necessity, right? So I think, and here I'll tell you, I'm a perfect example of this. So as I've been on this show many times in the last few months, and I was always described as the blogger for the New York Times Shifting Careers blog, which is a blog I created to talk about these ideas at the Times. And about a month and a half ago, I learned that through budget cuts, the Times was cutting my blog, which was quite popular. They said it had nothing to do with performance, that this was a budgetary cut. They're still keeping me on to do other work. I still write a Shifting Careers column, which is much more occasional. It's in the paper. It's not online.
But, so you're writer slash freelancer.
Right. Well, I've always been a freelancer.
Right.
So they didn't cut. I was an employee. I was never getting my health insurance from the Times. I always got my health insurance through a Writers Trade Association because I live like freelancer. But in the last year, I had allowed the Times to become a big part of my portfolio. I mean, I was giving them at least 50 to 60% of my time. And there were months where they asked for more. You know, would you do this? Would you do that? All at extra pay. But I was putting a lot of eggs in one basket. And as a freelancer, that's something I had never really wanted to do. I like to diversify my portfolio.
The single client syndrome can do you in.
And when you're doing really well with one client, they want to throw more work at you. They know you're reliable. They know you're available. So you understand their systems.
Mm-hmm.
But I made a real strong point to keep up my other slashes while I was doing that. And they're all consistent with being a journalist. As a journalist, we have to be careful. We can't do certain kinds of slashes are not compatible with being a journalist. But I teach journalism. I privately coach other writers. I do public speaking. And those things, I never stopped doing them. And I always wrote for other publications as well and maintain relationships with other editors.
Mm-hmm. What if you're starting from scratch, though?
Right.
What if you have been working for a single employer, and let's say it's a blue-collar job?
Mm-hmm.
Do you start trying to reorganize the whole way that you look at working?
Well, I think the first thing you would do is you're going to have some time on your hands. And I think how you use that time is really critical. And the first suggestion I would say is to figure out some way to get some retraining in something mm-hmm. else. And I say something else because maybe there's something you already have a knack in, something you're really good at that everybody has always said, gee, John, you know, you're really good at, you know, teaching people how to cook. I don't know, you know, and maybe
actually,
you should.
I am.
Okay. Yeah. So
he says we've never seen the proof
yeah,
of
well,
that.
So, you know. My skeptical co-host. I haven't food poisoned her
could
yet.
Could you take that to the next level? Yeah, could you start offering some cooking classes in your community to try to build a brand around that? Or, I mean, it's going to be very, very different for each person, but I would think really strongly about re-education, and I like nothing more than when I hear Obama talk about this, you know, 5 million green-collar jobs coming up. I mean, I think we're going to have to figure out how to help people who need retraining because their industries are going away.
Well, Marcy, one of the things you write that's so great that relates to this blue-collar point is for a lot of people, there's a giant psychological threshold of going from full-time auto worker, for instance, to dog walker.
Right.
And if you make your decision to do the dog walking along with, and I'm going to be going to school to retrain, it takes some of the edge off of the sort of feeling like you've come down a few notches if you take training along with one of these jobs that seems humiliating.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that I was really trying to encourage people whenever I talk to people about thinking about this new model is try to find something that is both income generating and interesting to you. Like try to really work towards this process. And there are some great books out there, and not just mine, but I write about, if you go to the blog, there's a huge archive of books, and there's a lot of ways to inexpensively start to explore your passions, your interests, and see if any of them happen to be the kinds of things that might be something you can turn into something else. But I think you're right, John. Like, the combination of doing different things at once can take some of the sting out of it. And education is really stimulating. Like, people find that when they go to learn something else, they usually, some part of their brain lights up. Like, it is a good experience for people. And they connect with other people
and
who are also learning something new.
It's a social thing. Exactly.
It's a social
network. Yeah, so serve up some education with your career survival. Marcy, thanks so much for joining us.
Sure.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.